The Outdoorsman Radio Show is brought to you by Ellis Outdoors, LLC. This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis.
Thought we'd kick it off with that truck driving song and get everybody jacked up, but all it did was put me to sleep. So what are we going to do this hour to make it better? It has been a very slow morning. I will agree with that. I mean, if we had some very exciting phone calls, I think that would be, maybe somebody could challenge me on something. I don't know. Get me all excited.
Yeah, like what's the best lure to use for a particular fish?
What's the best lure to use for a particular fish?
Mm-hmm.
Which challenge. Fish?
I don't know.
Pick one.
Trout.
Trout. Best lure to use for a trout.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that would be a Meps Aglia long spinner or a Castmaster silver.
Smallmouth bass.
Tube bait of whatever color they prefer that day. I like white, I like red, I like green. Or, you know, anyone, basically. Depends on how you're fishing them. But that's that, or a worm, Texas rig. In a river situation,
mm-hmm.
I would probably go with a little shad of some kind, a little flip-tail shad.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, see, I have to ask because the last time I went fishing was for bluegill, and we just used little bread balls, and
yeah,
that
right,
was it.
Yeah.
But as far as the real fish.
Yeah, sure. What else? Go ahead. Hit me.
Okay, let me see. Did I say smallmouth? How about largemouth?
Largemouth bass, top water in the summertime. Anything on top, oh, my gosh. Scum frog. My personal favorite is a Rapala, a little number 9 Rapala.
Okay.
And that's a good smallmouth bait, too, in the rivers, but number 9 Rapala on top. I mean, it's just a little tiny small bait. You can go with a bigger one if you want, but throw it out there, minnow bait. Just throw it out in a likely-looking spot, let it sit, let it rest, and then pop it with your rod tip and let it flip.
Okay.
And any surface lure for a large bait.
Anything that creates a surface action.
Yeah, yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Next.
I don't know. Well, let me ask this. Do you prefer freshwater?
Yes.
Or saltwater?
Yes.
Okay. Any kind of fishing is fair game for you?
Anything.
Anything?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I like fishing. I'm not a snob. I'm not an elitist. I just like fishing.
But I didn't know if you'd like the saltwater fish because maybe they might put up a bigger fight than, you know, what
it's matter of perspective.
Okay.
You catch a 14-inch hickory shad on 4-pound test line and an eighth of an ounce shad dart in a swift-moving stream. Pound for pound is probably going to be as good of a fight as a 4-pound smallmouth, you know, on 15-pound test in a reservoir, pound for pound, just saying. You know, which is probably going to be pound for pound the same as a channel catfish on, you know, on 10-pound test, 12-pound test in a tidal creek. So, there's Rudy at Kent Island. Oh, my. Been a while since I talked to Rudy. Emailed him. Thanks, John B. I appreciate your sympathy. I feel bad for the listeners out there who have to listen to this. Now, here we go. Let's talk to Rudy in Kent Island on Circle Hooks. Good morning, Uncle Rudy. How are you this morning?
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good.
Okay. My question is about Circle Hooks, obviously. I have a vested interest in
yep.
their use.
Yes.
Early on in the season last year, I have some friends in the Natural Resources Police who were saying that they did some surveys
yep.
among charter boats and other fishermen, and they said compliance was very, very high, which was encouraging.
That's good.
In order to reduce the size limit from 20 to 19, charter boat captains in particular agreed to the mandatory use of circle hooks while live lining and chumming.
Right.
And I recently read an article in a magazine. I won't mention it. I know your policy about advertising. But it was a letter to the editor written by somebody called Anonymous.
Oh, that guy. He's a troublemaker.
Yes, yes. But he wrote an article, or a letter, I should say,
right.
that said he was out fishing with a charter boat captain and they were still using trebles. Now, trebles are illegal.
Yeah, they are illegal.
For a very good reason. I've worked for a number of years on a charter boat, and if you deep hook a sublegal fish with a treble, it's a dead fish.
Oh, it's a dead fish, no question.
No question in my mind about that.
Yeah.
But he said that the captain was using trebles and said a lot of the other captains were using trebles. I found that very disturbing. I'm hoping that's not true. But I was kind of wondering if you could query your listeners as to what they have been seeing among charter captains and recreational fishermen. Are we adhering to this, you know, regulation that hopefully is going to enhance the survival of fish we have to release?
You know, I would hope they are. Rudy, I think the average guy is going to comply. You know,
I would hope so.
The average guy doesn't want any trouble. He doesn't want to be checked, and he doesn't want to be out of compliance. And, you know, if it's for the survival of the species, that people understand it. Pick something. Canada geese.
Mm-hmm.
You know, most of the guys that hunt them are like, man, they should close it this year. You know, close it for a couple years.
Yep.
We can do without a goose season for a couple years. And other guys are going, oh, man, they're going to kill us. They're going to kill our business. And, you know, I see all sides of it. I understand all sides of it. But err on the side of conservation so you have something for the future.
I would agree. I think most sportsmen, which is the proper name,
yep.
Feel the same way. I agree.
Yeah. So
when I hear stories about, you know, people saying that it's.
Yeah, if you're trying to get an edge on somebody, you know, now somebody who fishes with his charter captain who's allegedly using treble hooks, what is he using treble hooks for? For chumming or for what? Live lining?
Most of the stuff is live lining. It's very, very effective, let me tell you.
Oh, no question. As soon as the fish picks up the bait, you can set the hook with a treble hook. But that's half the fun, though, is... You know, whether you catch the fish or miss the fish when it comes to live lining. I mean, it's kind of a finesse type of thing.
Yes. And with circle hooks, it is finesse. Exactly right. You have to kind of relearn some of your old, you know, technique.
Yeah. But if your main goal is just to go out and kill a bunch of fish, well, then that's, you know, it's kill a bunch of fish. But if your main goal is to, you know, have fun and learn something and do it the right way and what's that?
And be a conservationist.
Be a conservationist, that's right.
Conservative use of the resource.
Exactly, conservative use of the resource. Good.
But I'm just curious, if you have a chance to ask your listeners, what have they observed?
You just did.
Okay.
Yeah, you just did. Okay, the question you're asking me to ask is, when you're out with a captain and you're live lining in particular,
mm-hmm.
what type of hook is your captain recommending that you use?
Yeah, and if you're out with a friend and he's live lining, is he complying?
Right. Well, that's good. That's, you know, good questions to ask, Rudy. I appreciate that so much. And these are non-offset. In other words, the point is in line with the shank of the hook.
That is correct.
Circle hooks. And they're very effective. I would recommend to anybody sharpen them before you do anything. And, you know, they'll continue to catch fish and you can release them. And if you're concerned about the size of the fish, smash the barb down.
Yep.
Fish doesn't, you know, the barb just keeps the fish from sliding off the bend. But if you keep proper line tension on your line, keep your line tight, you know, the fish fights the bend of the hook, not the barb of the hook.
Exactly.
So,
yep.
You know,
I'm sorry I missed your fundraiser last weekend.
Oh, I'm sorry you did too. Yeah, I'm sorry.
I don't know if you're on the shore. But
yeah, I know that. But it was a good time. I'm sorry you missed
like it.
Yep. So, but you made the one in the fall. That was pretty good.
Yeah. I'll be back next year.
Well,
if the stars align, we'll be back.
If the stars align, that's right. That's for sure. So, Good question, Rudy. Good question. Now, are you hearing anything about the commercial harvest striped bass right now? Are you hearing anything about what's going on?
I'm not being retired now. I'm really out of the loop, so I really don't have
I'm hearing this, and I don't know, but I'm hearing that the fish wholesalers aren't taking any more striped bass, that the market is flooded with oversized, cow rockfish, and the markets aren't taking anymore. The demand is not there to... The demand does not exceed the supply
for these
big fish, and the price has crashed. I don't know if that's true or not. It's a rumor, but we'll do my best to track that down. So.
Okey-doke.
All right, buddy.
You tell Robin we said hello.
I will do that. Thank you, Rudy. Talk soon, buddy. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Yes, indeed. Let's see. Scott in Essex. Good morning, Scott. How are you?
I'm great. Alan, how you doing?
I'm good. What's going on?
We're just left the house. We're headed down to the Blackwater area of Eastern Shore. Going to try and catch some northern snakeheads today.
Well, they're there. They're there. What are you going to use?
Well, I'm going to stop and get some big minnows. I don't normally fish with live bait. Because I don't know if you recognize my voice, but you know, I usually just fish for bass, and we're purists for lures. But since we're going for snakeheads today, we're going to get some minnows, and I'll also be throwing, you know, typical bass stuff. That's what they like to eat. I'm going to try to get on the Chickamaconico if the ramp's got room for me to park my truck and boat there.
One of the best baits that. Someone who knows fishes is a baby bass shad, plastic shad.
Yep.
If you got some of those, that'll work. The other bait
I got my boat full of about everything you can get.
Well, I'm sure you do.
Stopped yesterday.
I'm sure you do. And the other thing is the buzz bait, black blade, black buzz bait, gold blades.
Yeah. Yeah, that's...
Of course, you don't have any of those.
It should be warm enough to for them to start hitting top water now. You know, we were down on the Potomac day before yesterday, had a very slow day. Caught two bass. But the snakehead fishing is on fire over there right now. So that's where I'll be headed, and... hope to get a couple, take home and eat.
Well, let us know. Let us know how you're doing. I'm sure you probably have my cell number, Scott, I would imagine. So I think I have yours. So, but good luck. Good luck out there.
All right.
Yeah, man.
If anybody's listening, has got anything you want to add about the snakeheads, we'll be having you on until you go off.
Okay, that sounds good. I'm hearing, that's what I'm hearing. And look, you're going to catch both the male and the female today. They're spawning right now. So, you catch one, you're going to catch another one.
That sounds good to me.
All right.
All right. Buddy.
Enjoy, buddy. Thanks. See ya.
Thank you.
Yep.
Bye
bye. Glenn Chestertown, how are you, buddy?
Hey, Aaron, how you doing?
What's going on?
Hey, I just wanted to talk about, I know that there's Canada goose season. You say it's going to be lower this time, one bird.
Yeah, 30 days, one bird. That report should be out here in about a week, I would think, the establishment of the season.
You did touch on it earlier because I didn't wake up to about 5:50.
No, I didn't. No, I didn't.
Anyway, I also want to talk about the snow geese. As far as I'm concerned, their population is way down, too. Very, way down.
Well, I don't know if the population per se is down or if we just didn't get them here.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
been much in there in my area anyway.
Right.
Not lately anyway.
Well, it's about time for them to all head back. I think all the ducks have pretty much gone from the bay. I know all the geese are gone. They've been gone since about 2 weeks. So
usually we have them hitting on the fields until about the end of the season, usually.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, but it was a weird year for waterfowl this year. I mean, the population's down for sure, but you know, we really didn't have much weather to drive them here either. You know, it wasn't a whole lot of bad weather north. There was more than we know, more than we think, but birds just weren't there. Birds just weren't coming this way, you know. So now I did see toward the end of the season, I saw more geese. But if you look at that midwinter waterfowl survey we talked about a couple weeks ago, you know, the population of geese was in half of what it was.
Mm-hmm.
So just a year ago, that's a pretty drastic drop. You know, you figure 10-15%, that's, you know, that's just geese moving around. But when you figure half, that's a big, big knot, you know.
And they even said Canada geese from, like, where I hunt, out of a few ponds right in the, within a mile radius. And usually they'd be getting up off of one of them and coming over and around, but very low. I mean, as compared to what usually, I mean, if you didn't see a 1,000 birds, you know, fly around, you know, and say between 4 and 5 o'clock, you didn't see any.
That's right. That's right. So,
just wondering if you saw 100, you're doing good.
Yep. Unfortunately, that's how it goes. But, you know, we'll see. I can't wait to see what happens next year. I can't wait to see how many, you know, birds actually show up. And then, what the results of the nesting is this year. You know, the regulations will be already in place, but we won't know what the next season will bring until June. June, July, when the nesting counts are, you know, tabulated up in Canada. So, well, I'm getting a call on my phone here from somebody. I don't know if they're calling me personally or if they want to call the station. The number for the station is 410-922-6680, because I'm not going to answer this phone call. Anyway, Glenn, the Canada goose situation is dire. All we can do is wait to see what, you know, what shows up and what the recruitment is on the nesting grounds this year, you know, and we won't know that till May, June. So
I say if they have a, you know, moratorium like they did before, well, we're not going to have the Snokies to really rely on. I mean, cause if they keep that very high limit and or no limit, well, they're going to be depleted very fast.
That's true. That is absolutely right. So, yep, we got to be conservatives, buddy. We got to, you know, we got to think about the resource first, you know. Just like guys fishing with treble hooks. They're not thinking of the resource. They're only thinking about, you know.
Putting... The treble hook. That's the one that has the three hooks.
Three, on. Yeah, treble three. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you hook on live lining, you hook one, you know, one. Hook through the back of your spot and throw the other two out. As soon as the fish grabs it, you set the hook. You got two other hooks waiting to grab them. So, you know. Anyway. So.
All right.
All right, buddy. Well, I appreciate
it. You have a good weekend on. Tell Rob nothing on.
I will do it. Thanks for the call.
Bye.
Good to see you, buddy. Bye-bye. All right. Should I answer this call?
Well, nobody else is going to hear it.
No, I know, but he's called. Okay. Oh, no. Now he went away again. Be called twice. Call my cell phone while I'm on the air.
Does this person know that you're on the air, or is this...
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
His first name is Gerald, and Gerald, if you're listening to the radio show and you want to talk to me, don't call my cell phone. That's not how it works.
No.
No, you got to call the station phone, and that's 410-WCBM680, 410-922-6680. While we're getting straightened out with Gerald, let me tell you about Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway Exit 9. They've got everything. They've got ice. They've got live bait. They've got frozen bait. They got all the hooks, the weights, the bobbers. And the advice, that's the good thing that they have. Now, if your rod's broke, they can fix a tip. They can fix a guide. They can put new line on your spool. You've got fishing licenses. They got all the services and everything else. And, you know, if you need trout bait, perch bait, striped bass bait, anything, Clyde's has it. Again, they're 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne.
3 minute stations, 3 minutes.
Just off what was that? Just off Beltway, I had a cough. What was that sound? Did you do that?
No, I did not. I accidentally had the volume control up for the news.
Oh, okay. 3 minutes, 3 minutes. I'm in the middle of Clyde's. Why can't we get a decent Clyde's commercial in here this morning? Go to Clyde's Sports Shop. You know where they are. Give them a call. 410-242-6108. 410-242-6108 for Clyde's Sports Shop.
This is Alan Ellis for Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex spray-on bedliners. Linex spray-on bedliners are rated number one and carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust in your bed. Your tools, your tackle, crabbing, and hunting gear can't hurt it. Choose the Linex Premium or the Linex Extra. Both look great. Bay Linex and Catonsville Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards, you get it. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex bedliner and truck gear accessories. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. 410-789-0199. 410-789-0199. Catonsville Linex. New location, 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill. Just off Security Boulevard across from Coons Ford. 410-455-0800. 410-455-0800. Linex.
Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you.
W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg has taken care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
Last night I heard this politician talking about his brand new mission. Liked this plan, but it came undone when it got around to God. But it sure wasn't down at the hunting club, 'cause if it was, he'd understand just a little bit more about the working man. God and guns keep us strong. That's what this country is.
right, we got some callers on the line. We have Uncle Dale in Easton. Good morning, Dale. How are you?
Good morning, Alan. Forgive my rough-sounding voice.
Oh, I got the same thing, man. Same thing going on.
Well, the boss and I spent all Thursday night in our local establishment's emergency rooms.
Oh, no.
A lot of fun, but anyway, Rudy's call sort of reminded me of a couple things, Alan. It's we had talked about you and I about possible changes in management.
Yes.
For fisheries, I was wondering if you had heard anything else about it. I've heard a couple things that's proceeding, and one of the reasons why it's proceeding was because the estimate for hooking mortality this year, it's about 5-7% with striped bass.
Wow.
Was above 10%.
No kidding. Wonder what did that?
I don't know, Alan. I mean, this is just, hold on a sec. Excuse me. I'm not sure, but that's, if that's the reason why, then, you know, that, you know, changes we had in this past season might be eliminated.
Right, right. Well.
Anyway.
Are you talking about commercial or are you talking about recreational?
Recreational.
Really? Hooking mortality above it?
I don't know why it was so high. I mean, that's just what I had heard.
Yeah.
So, but sounds like to me that they're going to proceed with possibly making some changes in their management structure.
Yeah, it'd be nice to let us know since the season opens on the 20th.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
So, with regards to the commercial landings and the fish people not taking striped bass, I don't know whether the Maryland season is still open. A lot of the fish later in the season come in from Virginia.
Right.
Because I think their fishery lasts longer. But a lot of the guys switch over to white perch because, actually, Alan, towards the end of the season, the white perch brings a much better price.
Oh, more money. Yeah, bass. Sure. No question.
But I talked to our local proprietor.
Yeah.
Down here, and he can't get white perch. He's having a heck of a time getting white perch.
Wow.
He'd love to get them, but he just can't get them.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I hope there's no threat to that species. You know, that's...
No, I don't know. I don't think there's a problem with that, Alan.
Yeah.
So,
well, I hope not. So.
Matter of, you know, fish not being where they're supposed to be.
Yeah.
What is
real anymore? What's the new reality on fish anymore, Dale?
Yeah. And with regards to favorite lures, shad, dart, none guess or four art spoon.
Yep. That'll work. Which one do you put on the bottom? You put the shad dart on the bottom, right?
No, the short rig, the shad dart goes on the short line.
Well, then that's on the bottom. That's on the bottom.
So
the shad dart gives your weight on the short dropper. And then your spoon flutters, yeah. But even though it's hooked up further up the line.
Yeah. And depending on weather this week, I might make a little pilgrimage.
Oh, good for you. Good for you.
So, well, I don't know what your schedule is, but...
I get done with my taxes, I might join you. So,
yeah,
if I'm feeling any better.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
So.
I know the feeling. So.
I didn't call you for coffee because I didn't feel like it. I mean, I would work a little bit and then come back home and crash and work a little bit.
Believe me, after that all-night vigil in the emergency room, I'm still... That was not fun.
No,
anyway.
They never are. They never are.
No, so.
All right, buddy.
Mr. Robin.
Yep,
my
thank
Mr.
you.
Robin.
Yep, same,
all right.
Same best talk to the boss.
You.
See you later. Thanks. Bye-bye. Who's next? Claude Arbutus, how are you?
Hey, buddy. I did some research on that crossbow situation.
Oh, the one you told me that it was regulated as a like it was a pistol last week, right?
Right? Well, here's what they're going to charge you with: carrying a dangerous and deadly weapon with intent to injure.
Well, why would they charge somebody if he's carrying a crossbow on his back? What's? I mean, aren't you not allowed to possess one in the city or what?
It's under public local law. You cannot possess a crossbow in the city of Baltimore.
Really?
Yeah, so therefore you would get jammed up with carrying a dangerous and deadly weapon.
Yeah.
With the intent to injure. Well, it might not even be considered, they won't charge you with a deadly weapon, but it's dangerous weapon with intent to injure. That's what the charge is, actually. I wanted to get it right. But anyway, I was at a gun shop the other day, and I seen a 12-gauge that looked like an AR-15. You ever see one of them?
nut that looked like an AR-15 now.
Yeah, it looks just like an AR-15, but the magazine, where you put the magazine up, where's the five shells go, the 12-gauge shells. And then it's got like a bolt ejector to eject the shell. I forget who makes it. It was a nice-looking gun.
Hmm. Okay.
It's like $500-some.
So I can't come into the city with a crossbow. Open carry crossbow is what you're telling me.
Right.
Okay. So.
Ain't that stupid?
Well, you know, I don't know. It depends. I mean, it depends on what, again, on intent. Was this person intending to hurt somebody?
Right. It's what. Well, I'm just talking about the guy that was on the bike, said he was going, riding around with it, hunting or whatever.
Why? There's no hunting season open this time of year.
Right. No. I mean, but remember the guy was talking about carrying the crossbow on the bike?
Yeah, you told me that last week, I remember, and you told me they were going to charge him with carrying a pistol.
Right, but the state's attorney, when I did some research, I did some digging. See, if you want to find out any law in Maryland, it's called charging language. All you do is Google charging language.
Yeah, I know. I know how to do that.
So. But some of it is under public local law and not criminal law. You know what I mean? It's like a city ordinance.
Got it.
Stupid, but...
Sounds like mopery with intent to gawk.
It's stupid.
All right, Claude. Appreciate the call. Clearing that up. Thanks, buddy.
All right, buddy. Have a great weekend.
See you. Bye-bye. Jerry and Glen Burnie, how are you, buddy?
Hey, Alan. Good morning. Good morning to you.
Yes, sir. What's up?
I just want to chat a little bit about we're looking at pollution in the Chesapeake Bay.
Right.
The plastics.
Yeah.
Floatables. Baltimore Harbor's got a couple of those scoop boats that they use to get the trash.
I've seen them.
But some of the more active states have got a 5-cent deposit on soda bottles and glass bottles and cans and so forth.
Maine and Vermont, I think. Most of the New England states, yeah.
Yeah, and I think Hawaii's got it too. Why don't, you know, with pollution being the problem with the floatables, you know, we're going to paper straws and, you know, all the bans on plastic bags and that they try to invoke and so forth. Why are we not pursuing a 5-cent deposit? That would, you know, kids, old people, just scavengers, guys that like to walk around and, I mean, it makes it worthwhile for people to get that 5 cents and help clean up.
That's a good plan. I mean, when I was a kid, I used to collect bottles. I used to go door to door and collect bottles, and it was 2-cent deposit then. I mean, I'm talking 5-6 years old. I was going neighbor to neighbor looking for bottles. You got any bottle?
Yeah.
You know, then I go down to the local drugstore or Henry's Market, mostly the drugstore. And I'd sit in front of the counter, I'd look at those Fifth Avenue candy bars, and I'll tell you what, I wish I had a nickel. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. No question. Comics, books, and candy bars, you know?
There you go. I used to buy a little metal tin, smaller than a snuff can, and it had an assortment of 25 hooks in it, from big catfish down to trout, and that was my tackle box. That cost me a quarter.
Yeah.
And I'd scrounge the bottles and get that and then go down the pond and catch catfish and sunnies and perch and whatever.
But yeah.
I think that we need to step our game up because I've fished the bay quite a bit, and the floatables are just out of control.
Yeah.
You know, especially when we have a storm runoff.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Jones Falls in that area, geez. And I know the guys up in Back River, they got a boom set up there, and they get all that trash caught before it comes into Back River. And they do a heck of a job, but I think we need everybody to get involved, you know, and say, hey, you know, instead of tossing that soda bottle out the window, you know, it's worth something.
Sure, why not? Well, it worked before when times were different. Maybe it'll work again. You never know.
Well, that's all. I just wanted to go after that with a little bit of an opinion there. You know what I mean?
Sure. I'm glad you did. Sounds like a good idea. Now all we got to do is get somebody to put it in front of the General Assembly.
There you go.
All right, buddy.
We're on our way down to Fletcher's. I think we're going to fish the bank for a couple of 4 or 5 hours today. So
good.
Anybody got any insight, or if I get any intel, I'll give you a drop you a message on your phone.
I appreciate that. Thanks, Gerald.
You take care.
All right, and keep that 21 Parker in good shape. All right.
Oh, it's a beauty.
I know. My wife said she loved that boat. So.
Yeah, I got the original Yami on there, the 150.
Right.
I bought a new trailer for it down at Dave's.
Yeah.
And twin axle. I've been to, you know, Cape Cod, Montauk, down to Carolinas with it. My kids live down in Wilmington, fished offshore with it.
Nice.
You know, no majors.
Yeah.
Got it cleaned up, looking good, and. No T-top or anything. It's still just the low-profile SE hull.
Right. Know? All right, buddy. Well, you enjoy it.
All right. You take care. And if you see Ron Franks, you just tell him I mentioned his name and wish him well.
I see him every now and then. Thank you, buddy.
Yep. All right. Take care.
Take care, Jerry. Bye-bye. Bye. There he goes. Young lady, how are you this morning?
I'm doing better, thank you.
Good, glad to hear it.
I had to call in. I want to thank everybody, well-wishers and those that kept me in their prayers.
Yes, indeed.
I was feeling low in spirit, of course, Saturday. I just had a time getting over that I couldn't make it to that table. That's part of my joy for the year. But I had low in spirits, but I'll tell you what happened. I was surprised. Monday, my therapist came.
All right.
The guy had to be like 6'5", right?
Wow.
Big giant of a guy. Come in. I thought, well, I know I'm not going to, he's going to help me. I'm not going to fall or anything. But anyway, what made it so cool, he saw a couple of my hunting things.
Yeah.
And he says, who's the hunter in the house? I said, me. He says, yeah, I hunt too, almost every day when I'm not busy with the therapy. I says, you do? Well, him and I got to talking about hunting, and he showed me all the pictures on his smartphone.
Oh, cool.
Of the a blind that he made himself and the blinds in the trees he made himself and places in Maryland to hunt. And I tell you, he lifted my spirit and inspired me to try to get well. I said, what a coincidence. I would get a therapist that's a hunter.
Nothing wrong with that.
That was great.
Yes,
great.
Indeed. Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. So I said, well, this gives me time to have double the money when I come next year.
Perfect.
How about that?
You got it, girl.
All right.
You got it. Hey, thanks for calling. I'm glad you did. I know you hated to make that call on Saturday, but...
Oh, it was one of the hardest things I've ever done.
Yes,
I
indeed.
Tell you, I said, Fran, you got to do it. It's just a courtesy. You have to do it.
Yep.
You know, but like I said... I was low in spirits, but then when he walked in and he was a hunter, you know, I thought, oh, wow, they sent me a hunter to help me.
There you go. What's wrong with that? That's cool.
That was cool. Yeah.
All right, Miss Fran.
Well, you get better, too.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like everybody's coming down with this thing or has it or has had it or whatever.
It's the time
yeah.
of the year. You know,
yeah.
seasons change
yeah.
from March to, you know, when we're going from winter to spring.
Yep.
Okay.
Yes, indeed. So,
yeah.
And, of course, my resistance is worn down because all the work, the pre-banquet work and all that stuff,
yeah.
and then just, you know, just worn out for about a week in a row there.
Right,
so.
Right.
But, you know, yeah, we'll get through it.
We've
always
been through this before.
100 times.
Yeah.
Take care.
All right.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, it's been an interesting hour. Thank you, callers. I appreciate that. We've gone from rockfish mortality to... hunting and benefit and Claude talking about crossbows in the city and so forth. Yeah.
Treble hooks.
Yeah.
Best baits for fish.
Mopery with intent to gawk. Have you ever heard that term before?
No.
You need to look that up. You need to look that up. Yes, indeed. So.
We still have time for more calls.
Yes, we do. 410 WCBM 680. Let's keep the momentum going. Yes, indeed. We are accelerating towards the end of the show, and if you want your chance, it's now time to call 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680. That fellow was calling me on my cell phone was the fellow we called Jerry there, And he told me during the last break that he had purchased my father-in-law's Parker from him. So, you know, Robin was very familiar with the boat, didn't know the man that purchased it. So, but it's all good. 410-922-6680 is our phone number. Engaged with our buddy John B. back and forth, talking about law enforcement in a manner of speaking and things like that. So, you know, I'm busy here on texting, and I'm busy here on the phone, and I'm busy here on the on the email. So it's all good. Anybody wants to email me with anything, would like to tell me anything, it's Ellis at Ellis Outdoors. There's Rudy back. Ellis at EllisOutdoors.com. Ellis at EllisOutdoors.com. First name's Alan, but, you know, I go by Ellis at Ellis Outdoors because Ellis is my last name and Ellis Outdoors makes sense. It's, you know, it just does. Now Rudy wants to talk about the fish mortality. Good morning, Rudy. You and Uncle Dale are going back and forth there, huh?
Yeah, it's me again. You can't get rid of a bad penny sometimes.
I hear you.
But the reason I called was with Dale's comments about the increased release mortality. The studies that we did indicated there's two main reasons that fish that are caught and released die. One's the physical injury from the deep hooking,
right,
and the other is the stress,
right,
from the physical exertion of fighting.
Yes.
And we found there are several interactive factors that influence release mortality of shallow hooked fish.
Okay.
And that is temperature, both water and air,
right,
and salinity.
Okay.
Now, you're obviously, I know you're not a fan of the Susquehanna Flats catch and release fishery.
There, no, I'm not. No.
I know. There, they're dealing with totally fresh water, and in fresh water, water temperature is the driving force.
Right.
There's been several studies done showing that, not just ours, but other places. But in the presence of salinity, even a little bit, water temperature is not an influence. What we did see, surprisingly, was air temperature. When fish come out of water temperatures, say, in the 80s into 95, 100-degree air,
right,
mortality under normal circumstances of shallow-hooked fish in salt water is about 1%. It's very low. But when they are removed from relatively warm water to extremely hot air, the mortality of that same group of fish increases to over 17%. And I think we were seeing a lot of that last year because not only do we have high air temperatures, we had low salinity.
Yeah, makes sense.
So I think the mortality we saw last year was a combination of perhaps deep hooking, I don't know again, but certainly because of environmental conditions.
Right, right. Hmm. What about dissolved oxygen? I mean, you know, they talk about the dead zones in the bay. Of course, the fish aren't going to be there in those dead zones. But what if we have less dissolved oxygen, where the fish, you know, can survive in that environment, but, you know, it's not ideal circumstances?
They're stressed from that. They're stressed from lack of food. You know, there's a whole bunch of things working against the poor fish.
Yeah. Yeah, how is our base of forage in the bay? I mean, everywhere you look, you see, you know, little breaking schools of some type of fish. But you know, it seems to me that the bait fish are there, but I don't know if it's, you know, just a perception or a reality.
Yeah, again, being out of the loop, I really don't know. Mm-hmm. If Jim Uphoff, he's not an early riser, but if he was awake and listening, he could weigh in and really provide some good information.
Yeah. Maybe we'll have to have a striped bass show here.
That'd be great, yeah.
Yeah, we'll do that. Maybe
there's a lot of resources here in Maryland. You know, people have done a lot of really
good work. Oh, no question. No question. You know, I'm sure you met him years ago. Bob Pond. Do you remember Bob Pond?
I
got to meet him, the creator of the, wasn't he, the Atom Popper?
Atom Plug, yep.
Yep, the Atom Popper. And he was the one, I think, that did a lot of research on the floatability of striped bass eggs. Did you know anything about that?
I do. I spent 12 years on the chop tank looking at striped bass production. And striped bass eggs in the Chesapeake Bay have an oil globule, which keeps them buoyant.
Right.
Places down like in the Roanoke, where the stripers spawn right at the fall line, they do not have the oil globule because the turbulence keeps the eggs suspended. Here, without the turbulence, the oil globule keeps them buoyant.
Okay. All right. We'll talk more about that. at another time, because I think that had to do something like that had to do with the fish in the reservoirs as well. I think the oil globule on the eggs had something to do with, and I can't remember what it was, really, honestly. It's been years ago. Well, you know, we have striped bass in Liberty Reservoir and in Piney Run Park, and they're doing quite well reproducing in those totally freshwater environments. So, okay, let's talk about that later, buddy. Appreciate the call back. Thanks, sir.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye. Clyde Sports Shop. You know where they're located, right? 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne. I'll probably stop there today and say, you know what, I owe you an apology for extending your sale another week. And, you know, I might even tell them their fishing line isn't working. I'll probably call them on the way home. But they're located right there where they've always been for over 60 years. Fishing licenses, rod and reel repair, live bait, frozen bait, ice, anything you need to equip you for fishing. Rods, reels, tackle, terminal tackle, advice. Just say, I want to go fish for white perch. Where can I go? What can I use? And you'll get three guys saying this, this, and this. I want to go fish for trout. What do I use? This, this, and this. Use these hooks. Use this weight. Use this bobber. Do this. Do that. Go to this place. I mean, it's what a tackle shop's supposed to be, right? And don't forget, they've got great line of firearms too, including Browning. And we want to again express their generosity for donating a Remington 1187 to our benefit. And that went well, didn't it? You remember that one? Walked around with that. So Clyde Sports Shop, 242-6108. Stop by this weekend. Get ready to go fishing.
WCBM, Baltimore.
Enjoy the mild temperatures on this Saturday. It is going to get cooler from tomorrow to the start of the work week. A cloudy sky from this morning to the afternoon with winds out of the south and southeast. Today, the high will hit 73, and cloudy tonight with rain moving in late and a low of 57. Showers will exit tomorrow morning with a clearing trend during the afternoon with winds out of the west and northwest behind a front. It will be a cooler end of the weekend with a high reaching 59 on Sunday, and even cooler Monday with sunshine and a high close to 50. I'm Jeff Maher from the Weather Channel for Talk Radio 680 WCBN.
Alan Ellis here for Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie Spray-On Bedliners. Linex Spray-On Bedliners rated number one, carry nationwide lifetime warranty. Linex Spray-On Bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust in your bed. Your tools, your tackle, your crabbing and hunting gear can't hurt your truck bed. Choose the Linex Premium Bedliner or the Linex Extra. Both look great. And Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards. You get it. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex Spray-On Bedliner, truck gear, and accessories. Catonsville Linex, new location, 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill, just off Security Boulevard across from Coons Ford, 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Linex.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and at a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire and Auto.
Talk Radio 680, WCPM.
Yeah.
talk to Doug on the Eastern Shore about some turkeys over there. Good morning, Doug. How are you?
Good morning, Al.
Hey, Uncle Doug. I'm good. How are you doing?
Yeah. Oh, doing what I enjoy the absolute most. Here in Old Gobblers, just tearing up the woods this morning.
Is that what you're doing out scouting, are you? Good for
That's
you.
That's what I am doing.
And they are, huh?
And they are. It was a great, great goblin morning.
Wow. Glad to hear that.
Now they've turned it off now. I'm sure they're on the ground with the hens.
Yeah.
Now, but it was a great morning. I thought I'd give you a call and psych people up.
You got to do that. Turkey season, April 18th.
You got it.
Yeah. Now, did you have a chance to meet those fellows from the Turkey Federation the other day?
Oh, yeah. I've known those fellas for a long, 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 long time.
Yeah. Bobby Dutrow has been threatening to take me turkey hunting for years and years and years, and I think we're going to do it this year.
I just heard one gobble. Threatening to take you, huh?
Yeah, he's been threatening. So he's been wanting to take me. He goes, you call me now, Al, and I will go. I'm like, okay, Bobby. I never call. So I've been to his house. I'm going to call him this year. I think we'll go out Washington, Frederick County, somewhere up there and try and put one in the bag this year.
Well, you can't beat Washington County.
It's good turkey hunting up there.
That area has come on big time.
Yep, and we used to have caller Frank, I used to go with up there, and he closed the deal a couple times from a spot where I used to sit, and I was just never able to do that. So turkeys have eluded me for all these years. What did you think of that cool deer on Bucks, Bears, and Stags Facebook page the other day?
That's a heck of a nice deer.
That is.
Measuring for a long time, and sometimes that happens.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot more impressive than what the final
score
is.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Gorgeous animal. He ought to be really happy.
No question. All right. Well, there's the music, buddy. Sorry to keep you on.